My name's Tamsin. I go by she, her pronouns, and it's really lovely to be here. I need to let you know, this morning a small human poked me in the eye with a flailing arm. So if this half of the room thinks I'm winking at them, I'm sorry, I'm not sending out strange and mixed messages. Or if I just happen to start gently weeping from one eye, it's not because I'm particularly moved with what I'm saying or what others are saying around me. They may indeed move me to tears, but it's just a sort of an eye situation. I should have had an eye patch. That would have made me seem a little more interesting this morning as well. Welcome. I know that the masks are a little bit strange to wear inside. Some have just holding empty coffee cups to validate no masks. I fully approve of that strategy as well. I was speaking to, some of you will know Leah from this community who's now in Sweden, and COVID is ravishing Sweden right now. They're going through a really rough time, and for her it's right in her face, and it sort of had me thinking about that we're in this weird limbo right now where we're in between going back to normal and then a mask kind of remind us, oh, actually, we're not quite there. The coming into this building was very familiar to me this morning, but it's been a long time to sort of feel comfortable and to feel at home. And so we're in this in-betweeny kind of place with return and comfort and discomfort. And as the guys have mentioned the last 2 weeks, Shane and Rod, we've been discussing the impact of COVID on life and post-lockdown, and we couldn't help but see the comparison between this and one of the grand narratives of the Hebrew Bible, which is the exile of the Israelites to Babylon. So it's essentially a story, a big story of loss, of encounter, of loss, of yearning, of rediscovered experience of home and belonging. And I think we just keep cycling through that in small and large ways as people, as whole communities. So we'll do a tiny recap of Shane's tiny recap and a recap of Rod's shiny recap of Shane's recap. A small recap of Babylonian history. how much time? But yeah, after years of warning from the prophets, Micah and Habakkuk and Jeremiah, to name a few, the nation of Judah was taken captive by the Babylonians in the early 6th century. Under the brutal and tyrannical Nebuchadnezzar, the temple was destroyed and the vast majority of the population was either taken captive or fled to surrounding countries. This forced migration was utterly devastating on many levels. And we perhaps have seen forced migration in communities, perhaps in China at the moment, which devastates communities and devastates what it means to belong and to feel at home. Shane also mentioned that for peoples whose identity was formed around land, temple and Torah, this brought them to their knees, completely disorientated and wandering. How could they be Israel now? Had God forsaken them completely? How could they sing the Lord's song in a foreign and strange land? Miraculously, over about 50 years, the possibility to return to their land, I'm going to get you where's my little clicker? Pictures always help. Is this this grand temple that was destroyed? The possibility arose to return to their land and to rebuild the temple that you just saw before. But 50 years was a long time, and many people had died. Many others had been born with no experience of what had happened, and they just heard stories. For some, this return back to what was a great temple was very exciting. The exile would be over. They could return to the way things were. And to that sense of a golden age where all would be well, they could reconnect with God as they had done. For others, the exile had changed them intrinsically, and they were at least part Babylonians now and couldn't connect with the homeland or the stories that they had heard. And for others, this rebuilding of the temple was a deeply painful experience of disappointment. The second temple was not Solomon's temple, and things would never be the same. And they were again utterly devastated, even though this was what was promised and had been looked forward to for so long. So I couldn't help but see this sort of idea of joy, of disconnection and disappointment through this story, kind of rereading it again. And as we have come together, we also kind of perhaps are experiencing something similar of joy or disconnection or disappointment or a mix of all three or an absence of anything. But because we're reflecting on COVID, and one thing I noticed, if any of you are on Zoom, is that we sort of had a taste of community, but being away from this community just meant that I had my experience was turned up loud. Fair enough, I had a small human and birthed it, which always turns your own experience up very loud. But I just didn't have the stories of others in my face, in my world, challenging me, making me reflect on things, because I wasn't with you. I didn't know where you were at. I didn't know what you were processing. I didn't know where you were at in your life. And so that is one of the gifts of coming back, whether you feel joy or disappointment or disconnection about it, is that we now get to hear of one another's story again. And my life and my screen, which is just me and my day and my night and my this and that, is sort of turned down for a little window in the week, and I get to hear from you, and your stories get turned up. And I think the Christian story, and even Christ, just asks us to do that, to make room for one another and to be co-creating of a community, which happens much more when we're together, as difficult as it can be. So we're inviting voices. Last week we heard from Percy and from Sarah about their encounters of lockdown, and I got to see a little window into that. And this week we're inviting two others to come and share their encounter of lockdown, and so we can see a window into another world other than our own, and I'm sure experiences that were very different to your own as well. So I'm going to ask Roz and Nathan, if you want to jump up, rocking a great leather jacket there, and a just the cool strut to the microphone has been thrown by the shoelace undone. The dog, oh, I love it. Oh, we can be mask free on up here.
Subtle messages to the crowd.
She's gone subliminal and subtle. Someone the other day was talking about having, you know, those magic eye. In the 90s, we had all those magic eye pictures where you'd stare at them cross-eyed, but they would put them in one of those QR codes just for the time, so you just have to stare at them and each secret QR code would have a secret image. Don't know how that's relevant, but I thought I'd share. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And I don't want to sort of drive the questions, but I guess we start with what was your experience of COVID and lockdown, and you can take us wherever, whatever that means for you. And I've got some more questions. But yeah, maybe just start with what was it for you, and either whoever.
I'm going to be a mixture of glasses on, glasses off. I thought I'd print out some notes, make them bigger, but I still can't see size 12 font without my glasses. So I'm going to do the teacher thing and have my glasses on the end of my nose. I am a teacher, so that kind of works at the moment. I thought that I'd just, initial words that came to my mind with that question were words like surreal, odd, a bit fun, a bit worrying, uncertain, strange, things moving quickly, watching the news regularly, life disappearing, pausing, waiting, separated from everything, but strangely united. There's probably a whole lot more that I could add, but they were just some of the ones that sort of sprang to mind. Initially with the first lockdown, I found that quite restricting and quite triggering. I had chronic fatigue syndrome, which impacted me hugely for about 10 years. And my life really consisted of being able to do about one outing a day, whether it was to the shops or whether it was to the park. I then had to quickly go home and lie down for the rest of the day. So The first lockdown I found quite distressing because it sort of took me back to that, and I just felt that I fought so hard over the last 10 years to get out of that, and I just did not want to go back into that. So I had to sort of work through that a little bit. There was, you know, that sense that that we were all in this together, and part of me was kind of pleased that everyone else out there kind of has a little bit of a taste now, I think, of what it's like to live with either long-term illness or long-term disability or injury or something that takes you out of what we call sort of the regular or the norm. So I think by the time the second lockdown came, I felt a little bit more calm about that. Here we go again, but other people have gone through it. And I think when you don't feel as alone or your experience is as different from other people's, that felt a little bit better. So, yeah, initially embraced it, but I think after day four I was about done. Took a lot of mental energy to keep going. I'll let you have a go. I did tell you, Tamsin, if I ramble, just cut me off. I tend to do that a bit, so I'm stopping over to Nathan and then I'll come back to lockdown two.
You're good. My name's Nathan. I'm part of a little family with Luna and Meg sitting over there in the corner. We live on Yolukit land, part of the Boonwurrung language group over in Williamstown. So COVID lockdown. It was a big one for everyone, and it's so nice to be here and be telling some of the stories. Yeah, I was talking to my friend Tessa about just kind of how excited we were to be processing with people. I feel that a lot of lockdown was individual, and if you could meet one person. So to be here together and hearing the stories of Percy and Sarah last week was awesome. I really appreciated that. So, yeah, speaking today, I was excited to start the conversation and start more conversations around how do we process this together. And there's such varied experiences and some really big stories and heavy stories coming out of the time, but also some beautiful ways of how people adapted or found new things and brought new life. So I guess that's something I want to talk about a little bit too. But I guess the start of lockdown was a bit different to the end. As you kind of mentioned, we changed throughout it. But the start was, for us, was already having a dog. This isn't a COVID puppy. We got a few months before, so that was really fortunate for us. But we kind of, with all our social things shutting down, we found a new community of dog walkers at our, we've got a foreshore at Williamstown. So we all kind of stood around with our dogs at the dog park, and everyone's a little bit socially desperate. So you just kind of start clinging together and making new friends. So we've got a whole new community of local people who we now go to their house for dinner or look after each other's dogs or just regularly see each other at the foreshore every day, which is kind of a beautiful thing to come out of the experience. Yeah.
Back to me. I'll just go with my own agenda. And if I
she's rewritten the questions. Don't take
everything. I just thought I'd move into what I missed. And I think the biggest thing for me is routine. I missed my routine. Love routines. And so I'm just going to go through what my work life looked like as a teacher sort of during that time. So initially I was at work, students finished early. I heard about the word Zoom. Then there were school holidays. Then I was working at school, students were at home. Then I was working from home, students were at home. Then some days I was at school, some days I was at home, the students were at home. Then I was working at school and the students were at school. Then I was working at school, still working at school. Then there were school holidays. Then there were some days I was at home, some at school. Then I was working all the time at school, students were at school. Then I was working at home, students were at home. Then I was not even allowed to set foot on the school property. Then there were school holidays. Then there was negotiated days at school and some days at home. Then from middle October, we worked from school with the students. So hard to get into a routine. I don't think there was more than 4 weeks at a time that I was doing any sort of routine. So that kind of threw me for a bit of a loop. But that's okay. Other things I missed was just having the choice of what I did. And even though part of me really embraced being at home, I just missed that choice. And again, that goes back to I think a lot of when I had chronic fatigue syndrome, I felt I didn't have a choice in what I did. It was so dictated by my energy and my body. And this was a little bit similar. I couldn't go where I wanted to go, do what I wanted to do. Missed a lot of milestones for myself and others. It was a year of big milestones, whether it was birthdays, friends having babies, friends moving overseas. A lot of that sort of stuff kind of got missed, celebrated in its own unique way, I guess, but just different. So I guess embracing the difference was tricky. I just missed most of the usual things and the normality. I'll hand it over to you. Did you miss anything?
Yeah, that's a great one. So I'm usually pretty outdoors. Like on the weekends, I enjoy riding in Pickett State Forest and I'm there out and about. So that was a bit of a change for me with lockdown. So much so that I was like, great, I'll pick up a new hobby. I'll start running. So I took all my fitness with cycling over to running a bit too eagerly. Ended up breaking my foot straight away. So that was a good one, which ended up in nerve damage. So I was full at home for, I'm just coming out of that. So that was 5 months of crutches and moon boot and a different way of doing things. But the good thing, I don't know, there were some beautiful things that came out of that. So I've like flirted a bit with like meditation and different like apps and practices. But never been like all in down the rabbit hole of it. So I guess it was a bit of an opportunity for me to, well, all my hobbies dried up, to try something different, of course. It's like a bit of choice, I remind myself, and a bit of just being kicked into it, which, like, I don't know how much you can attribute to each, but I got there. So, yeah, I started, like, picking up a meditation practice of just, like, starting in the mornings every morning. And to be honest, coming from a sports background, my friend had a streak of 60-something days that you get on Headspace. So I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm just going to go for that and beat him. And so that was a bit of my starting motivation, to be honest. But it changed after a few months, I think, of being in that practice. And, yeah, just deep diving into the practice of meditation has changed, yeah, so much of my Headspace. I mean, I talk about with my friends kind of, the education we get in school or the education we don't get around just like you have a brain and you have thoughts and they're kind of coming all the time to you and just that kind of basics of how your mind works, which influences every decision you make and how you perceive everything going on in the world around you. So just spending some really good quality time in that process has been like a pretty big change for me and something that, yeah, as I go on, I want to bring through to, as things kick into normality and I am more mobile now, take with me. But, at the heart of the practice, I guess, is learning to sit with myself and finding stillness and joy and compassion within myself and being kicked into a process of doing that every day. It didn't come at first. But that slow change and revealing to the point where you're like, it's a skill and you get better at it and then you get like a little bit dependent on it at times as things change. Yeah, it's been a really beautiful process and changed a lot of my thinking and outlook and having some leaders in that space as well to kind of look to and guide me has been awesome. Maybe we'll unpack a bit more in the conversation, but yeah, that's been a big change for me.
Are you a thinking would you say you're thinking dominant in day to day? Would you say more
Yeah, I'd say so, and I'd say like through cycling, I kind of get out of my head a little bit and into my body. So that was, I guess, my practice, and meditation's brought that in the meditation and education around my mind has brought that in a much deeper way and focused way, which I don't think I could experience through cycling. But yeah, I think I knew a lot of concepts. I often know a lot in my head, but to experience it in my body and be in that doing, like it's even hard to talk about now because it's a being, which isn't a speaking. But that, like I knew that like, oh, once I have my basic needs met in life, I've got food and shelter and those kinds of things, like there's no happiness I can kind of add through like buying things, which our society says, but to kind of live that being and practice of presence, which Rod talked about through some of our series as well, yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
Kate Rambling? Okay, I'll just talk a little bit about then, I think it is one of the questions about what, I can't remember, anyway, it's about what nourishes you, what supports you, what grounded me and that sort of stuff, because I did a lot of thinking about that and I reflected that I did a lot of deliberate thinking about that and just, I suppose, some of the surprise things that came out of it. For me, David, my partner, now refers to me as the crazy bird lady of the neighbourhood. Becoming friends and connecting with local bird life has been really a surprising joy. The office at home overlooks the front yard. We've got a massive gum tree, like every house in the street, and a bird bath. So it's always been quite busy. But once we hung a couple of, you know, those bird feeders to put seed in, wild bird seed, took it to the next level. And constantly we'd have, you know, in the mornings once the seed was at 20 or 30 birds. And just as the days went on, I really got to know some of the little habits of the birds. There were the lorikeets and the way they interacted. Turns out they're the kingpins and they will scare away most other birds. Then we've got the set of galahs that come, the corellas, which are those big white birds but not quite the same as cockatoos. And over time there was the gang of four or the gang of six, and they're a gang of magpies led by my favourite Fluffy Chest, who started off as a cute little magpie, big fluffy chest, hence the name, not very original, but that's how he still is. And they still come. And so we've graduated on to giving them, I must say, a little bit of meat from time to time. But and then, of course, they want more. So every time you go out of the house, got a patio with a railing. And so you walk out of the house and you've just got these birds swooping in, sitting on the rail and talking. And Fluffy Chest has got a beautiful voice and tends to sing and have a lovely warble for up to 2 or 3 hours after he's been fed. And I don't think it's all about the food. I genuinely think that he likes to sing. And there are some magpies that don't sing so much, but he sings a lot. So he's still quite a part of my life. He's only got a little bit of fluffy, his baby fluffy feathers left. Tell me if this is too much information, but he's still around. And then we had little one, who was the little honey eater bird that fell out of a nest, and we tried to nurse him back to health over a week. Sad story on that one, but he's now buried in the yard. And then we've got Kevin the cockatoo, who turned up one day. Again, I was inside in the lounge room, which looks out over the patio and the railing, just saw this big thing of white come and land on the railing, and he looked at me, bobbed his head up and down, and then started yelling at me to come out and feed him. So I gave him some, hand fed him, mind you, this is on our first meeting, quite a forward bird, the seed, but it was pretty obvious he was only interested in sunflower seeds, thanks very much. So now I've got a stash of sunflower seeds just in the door, and he comes, I think, every 3 or 4 days, makes a bit of a noise, comes between 4 and 8, and come and has a snack, we have a bit of a chat, and off he goes. So, and I just would not have connected with the wild birds of the neighbourhood if it wasn't for COVID. So
The locals,
some people connect with local people in the neighbourhood, connected with the locals.
More the dogs, but yeah, the people.
the local birds, and I just don't know where that's going to stop. But that's
we're going to need an update on Fluffy
you
Chest.
Will. Fluffy Antonio. Chest is doing one. I liked also creating rituals. Not quite sure sometimes the difference between a ritual and a routine. For me, the ritual was more deliberate. So I did quite often light a candle in the morning over breakfast once I'd had breakfast and read a bit of poetry and even read a bit of the Bible. Am I allowed to say that? I did. Still do sometimes.
Aghast.
Yep. Or read a little something and even have a little pray or use a journal. And that was sort of a habit or ritual that I've been wanting to get into for quite some time, but I think COVID sort of allowed for that to happen more. I also made sure I went for a 15-minute walk every day before work, probably because I walk to work and it's a 15-minute walk to get to work, so I could still do that, part of my routine, not OCD at all. The Zoom church here I found containing. Again, that was part of routine, even though it wasn't in this context. I still really liked that, just to provide that. I was extremely grateful to have a house and particularly a backyard, and in the winter in particular our lawn is very green. In the summer it's brown, but in the winter it's green. So there was just something I found really grounding about walking out the backyard in bare feet in the cold that just sort of connected me in with the day. What else? Oh, David and his sourdough bread, I have to mention. Delicious.
I forgot about the
delicious,
sourdough.
Delicious. I did do a little bit of online shopping, and for someone who's not particularly confident on computers, I found some good T-shirts and some other pamper boxes. That was kind of my thing because I love all of the sensory stuff. So at school and at home, I've got my box of whether it's body spray or face mist, perfumes, hand lotions, you name it, I've got it. I really like smells and the different way that can sort of affect your mood. So that was a big one, nearly done. Local parks and ovals were really alive with people. Normally they're not, particularly local footy ovals, but just to be filled with kids and parents and friends and all sorts playing, you know, footy and the frisbee. Dave and I played footy and frisbee down the local park. Haven't done it since. Maybe we should again. That was a real blessing. Podcasts on everything. That's not a podcast, just podcasts, podcasts and more podcasts. Special mention to Schitt's Creek on Netflix. If you haven't got onto that, get onto that. It took me about three goes to get onto it, but that was just a fun little thing. Dan Andrews' daily updates were surprisingly interesting and something that I kind of needed to hear as well, see how we're going. And I booked a ski trip last August for this August coming, and there was something about you can't do anything. Well, I thought I can still book a ski trip. It's in Victoria and hopefully it'll still go ahead. So that was something that I did a lot. And a bit of yoga, a bit of hula hooping because we have to do hula hooping. I'll stop there now. I could see the wind-up coming.
I'm just aware of our communal attention span. Any last thoughts for you? That was it?
I guess as we like move forward into like what this year is, just like remembering that, like, this isn't over. Like, we're in the middle of processing, and for some people, they're still in the depths of the COVID experience and holding space for that. Yeah. And I guess for myself, my little challenge is, how do I, bring this practice into this space and into the spaces I go every day or will go every day. But, yeah, I'm excited to hear more and excited for next week where we get to hear even more conversations, because the heart of this community is this community, and that's what I love about it. So keen to hear your voices.
Well, I'd like to thank you. Thank you both for sharing your worlds and opening our eyes to just stories other than our own. So thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Feel free to... We can clap. It's never easy to jump up and share your life, but I always appreciate it deeply. And we're going to come to a close now, just taking that in. As Nathan sort of mentioned, just how diverse our experience of COVID was and is, and it's linked to sort of the experience of the exile and how mixed it was. I'm just going to read the second half of this passage because it's a goodie. The first has the word antiphonally, which I also think is a goodie, but I'll leave that till next time. It's talking about setting up the second temple and the process of this love and disappointment. The people joined in with shouts of praise to God as the foundation of the house of Yahweh was being laid. Many of the older priests and Levites and heads of family who had been seen the original temple cried openly at seeing the new foundation being laid. and many more cried out for joy, and the cries of sorrow were so mingled that no one could distinguish between them, and the din of cries could be heard far away. The cries of sorrow were so mingled that no one could distinguish between them. And perhaps we in the room have stories so mingled of all of joy and disappointment and health and, you know, sickness and all sorts of things that we hear one story, but it's nice to flesh it out. For communion today, it's whatever's on your table. We can't have our little crackers and our hemi crackers and our dip just yet. So if you have something on your table, an empty cup even, we've got someone brought a cracker in a little plastic bag that's broken into 1,000 pieces over here. So you're more than welcome to I suggested lick your finger and dip it in the bag, but that wasn't suggested to be COVID appropriate. So what you have before you, communion is all about connecting and communing with one another, with the land and with the divine as well. And we do it each week, and we'll continue to do it in whatever way we can. So how about we eat and drink of what is before us? And then I'm just going to pray before we close. So please eat and drink of what you have in remembrance of what was and what is to come. I'm just going to pray to finish. Divine love, we come before you continually to search and understand and experience of all that you are and finding you in all these places around us. Be with us in our journeys of joy, of disconnection and of disappointment and of confusion. And we thank you that in this place all belong and our cries are mingled. But it does not devalue or disqualify anyone's, and we hope to continue to elevate everyone's. Amen. Amen. Please go in peace.